Okay, so we now start today's daf on daf mem dalid amud aleph. Tanur Rabbanan, this little passage, this is the key source for all of the controversy about the tcheles. The Gemara says, chilazon zed, this creature, the chilazon, gufo domeli yam, its body is like the ocean. Ubriyaso domeli dag, and its creation is like a fish. Va'ole echad l'shivim shana. It only appears, it comes out of the ocean once every 70 years. It rises once every 70 years. That's why it's very expensive. V'damo tzovim tcheles. And with its blood, they paint the color of tcheles. And l'fichach damav yekarin. And that's why its blood is very expensive. Its money is very expensive. The reason why it's very expensive is because it only shows up once every 70 years. So, this is the key passage about the chilazon. So all those who are trying to figure out the chilazon are trying to see if it fits into these requirements. Okay, time went into Braisa. Amar Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson said, Ein lecha kal mitzvah kala shebesocha shekthuva batorah. There's no light mitzvah, easy mitzvah written in the Torah. She'en matan schara ba'olam hazeh. It doesn't have a reward in this world. U'olam haba eini yodea kama. And if it gives such good rewards in this world, in the next world, I really have no idea about how great the reward is. And any light mitzvah has great rewards in this world. So can you just imagine what the next world is going to be for these mitzvahs? So what's an example of a light mitzvah with tremendous rewards in this world? Say, ulamad mi mitzvah tzitzis. Go and learn from the mitzvah of tzitzis. A pretty easy mitzvah. Put on some strings. Okay, so spin the strings for the sake of the mitzvah, but then put them on. And look at this.
The chilazon doesn't make it so easy.
The not so easy, that's true. But, in the times of Gemara, they didn't have a chilazon, probably.
Or Jewish books very good, yeah.
So, an amazing thing. Ma'aseh ba'adam echad. There was a story with a person. Shaya zayir b'mitzvah tzitzis. He was very careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis. And apparently he wasn't so careful about other mitzvahs. But mitzvah tzitzis he did. Shama sheyezona b'krake hayam. He heard about a certain prostitute in the islands of the sea. And she was apparently very appealing and very beautiful and very expensive. Shenoteles arba meo suhuvim bischara. She would demand, and she would get, 400 gold coins as her wage. So shigir la arba meo suhuvim. So he sent to her 400 gold coins. The kavala. And they set up a time for an interaction. Kishi Giazmano, when it was his turn. Ah, welcome, Isaac. Thanks for coming back. So we are on Daf Mem Dal Amud. Do you need a Gemara? Oh, we have another Gemara, I'm sure.
Page 276. Here we have. $2 a minute.
No, right. No, no, no. So the Gemara said, right? The Gemara had said first about the chilazon.
Yeah.
Now the Gemara is saying about the tremendous reward for the mitzvah of tzitzis. There was a man who was careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis. Apparently, he wasn't careful with other mitzvahs, but with the mitzvah of tzitzis, he was very careful. And he heard about a prostitute who would charge 400 gold coins for every interaction. So he sent her 400 gold coins, and she sent him a time when he could come. So he showed up at that time, Kishigi Azmana, when his time arrived. Bavi Yashav ala Pesach. So he came and he sat by the doorway of her house. Nichnasa Shivchasa. So her maid came in, Vamralan said to her, Oso Adam Sheshigilach Arba Meosuhuvim Bavi Yashav ala Pesach. That man who had sent you 400 gold coins has arrived. He's sitting on the doorway. Amrahi, so the prostitute said, Yikanes, let him come in. Nichnas, he came in. Itzialo Sheva Mitzvos. So she prepared for him. You know, she had opened up the blankets and the bedding of six beds. Sheshel Kesef. Six of them were made of gold. But they were one on top of the other. The achas on the very top was shel zahav. The one on the very, very top, the seventh bed, was made of gold. Six were of silver, and the very top was of gold. Uvein kol achas v'achas, and between each bed, this was bunk beds, sulam shel kesef. There was a ladder of silver. The elyona, the last ladder, was shel zahav, was of gold. Olsa, so then she climbed up all these ladders. The Yashva al Gabe Elyona, and sat down on that top bed, Kishihi Aruma, when she was undressed, when she was naked. Afhu ala leshev arum kenegda. So he also was aroused, and he ran up to go sit undressed next to her. Bo arba tzitziyosav. So his four tzitzis came, the tafchulo al panav, and they slapped him on the face. The tzitzis came, his tzitzis flew up, and slapped him on the face. They flew up.
The window was open?
The tzitzis flew up to hit him in the face. Right? They were reminding him of the mitzvahs. So when he was reminded of the mitzvahs, nishmat, he slipped off. V'yashav lo gabe karka, and he sat down on the floor. She also came down. The Yashval Gabi Karka. She sat on the floor. Amra lo, she said to him, Gapa shel Romi, I swear by the Queen of Rome, Sheini minichascha, I'm not going to let go of you. What flaw did you see in me? Why'd you go down? Amar la, so he said to her, Avod, I swear by the service of the Beis HaMikdash, I swear by God, Shalora you see, Shiyafa Kamosei, I've never seen a woman as beautiful as you. Ela mitzvah achas, Tzivanu Hashem Elokeinu. But Hashem has given us a mitzvah, Tzitzis Shema. It's tzitzis. Because of when it says in that last section about tzitzis, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Shtei Pamim, I am God your Lord twice. Which means, Ani Yushasa Li Para, I am the God who's destined to punish you. Ani Yushasa L'Shalim Sachar, and I am the God who's destined to give you reward. Achshav Nidmu Alai Ka'arba Eidim, and now the tzitzis appear to me like four different witnesses. Amar lo, she said to him, Eini manichascha, I'm not leaving you. At shetomerli mashimcha, so you tell me what is your name? Mashem Ircha, what is the name of your city? Mashem Rabcha, what's the name of your teacher?
Just wait, it's a good story.
Mashem Midrashcha, what's the name of your yeshiva? Shat alomid bo Torah, that you learn in it Torah. So kasav, so he wrote to her all of it: the name of his city, and his name, and the name of his rabbi, and the name of his yeshiva. V'nasam biyad, he gave it to her. So she went and she wound down her business affairs. She gave away her money. Shlish l'malchus. Third, she gave away to the Romans to let her convert. Shlish l'aniyim. She gave another third to the poor. Tzdaka. Shlish natla biyada. And the third she took for herself. Chutz me'osan matzaos. Except for all of those bed sheets and beds and ladders and bunk beds, that she kept. Uvas lebeis midrash shel Reb Chiya, and she went to the yeshiva of Reb Chiya, which is where this guy apparently was learning. Amra lo, she said to Reb Chiya, Rabbi, my teacher, tzavei alai, command upon me, v'yasuni giores, or command for my sake, let them make me into a convert. Amar lo, so Reb Chiya said, biti, my daughter, shemei nayach nasat ba'achad min atzalmidim. Maybe you've put your eye for one of the students, and you want to marry one of the students. And as the Maharsha says, if that would be the case, then we shouldn't be accepting you, because we don't accept people who want to convert only for the sake of marriage. So she took out this note from this student. She gave it to Reb Chiya, and apparently she told Reb Chiya the whole story. that when she saw this amazing thing, that the tzitzis flies up to stop a person who wears tzitzis from doing an aveira, she really wanted to join the Jewish people. So Amar La, Reb Chiya said, oh, okay, all right, go, and you can take your acquisition. In other words, you can convert, and you would be allowed to marry him. This is considered an honest or conversion for the right motivations, and that's what happened. So she converted, and then she married him. So now all these beds and bed sheets that she had prepared for him in a prohibited way, now she prepared it for him and it was permitted because they were husband and wife. So you see, so here it's a light mitzvah, the mitzvah of tzitzis, and look at the reward that it gives in this world. The reward of this world, it gives amazing intercourse to a person who's careful with it. So Lola Mabani, Odea Kama, can I even imagine what reward it's going to give in the world to come?
Wouldn't you say like the exact opposite, that if you got such great reward in this world, I mean, we learn otherwise, that that diminishes your reward in the world to come.
Mm.
So you would think opposite.
Interesting.
It's a different perspective.
Does that mean
it's a different perspective.
The sissits have feelings too when they see something nice?
Maybe. Maybe they have feelings. Maybe they have feelings. That's right. Yeah.
Beautiful story. Isn't it true?
They have in Yom Kippur.
Yeah, but apparently here, because it was from the Nace, she was inspired by the Nace. That is considered Gerut Mishlemet.
That's why the Rabbi agreed to it.
I think so. That's my understanding.
Rabbi, which rabbi wrote this story?
Avin and Ravashi.
Ravashi.
All right, so now we go back to the halachos of tzitzis a little bit. I'm Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda taught Talis Sheula. If it's not your talis, you're borrowing the talis. Kol Shloshim Yom, for the first 30 days of your borrowing, Peturim Minat Tzitzis, it's exempt from Tzitzis, because the Torah says, Gedilim Ta'as Alacha, make strings. Al Arba Kanfos Ksuscha, Sher Tachasaba, on the four corners of your garment that you'll cover with it. So your garment, not that which belongs to your friend. Mikan Ve'elach, after the 30 days, if it's barred for already more than 30 days, then chayeves, then it is obligated in tzitzis. Tanya Miyachios learned in a brisa this way, Hadar bepundaki Be'eretz Yisrael, someone who sleeps in a hotel where travelers stay in the land of Israel, or a socher bayis b'chutz laretz, or someone who's renting a home outside of Israel, so kol shloshim yom, for the first 30 days, patur min hamezuzah, he's exempt from mezuzah. Mikan ve'elach, after the 30 days, chayav, he's obligated in mezuzah. Aval asocher bayis be'eretz Yisrael, but if somebody rents a house not outside of Israel, but in Israel, osa mezuzah la'alter, he should be making a mezuzah right away, mishum yishuv de eretz Yisrael, because we want to encourage the settlement of the land of Israel. So Rashi explains here, Mishum Yishuv De'eretz Yisrael, De'la'achas shekavu ashuv eino not l'misham. Once you put up a mezuzah, you're not supposed to take it out. Afilu, anywhere. Afilu yotzi mimena, even when you leave. Even in Chutz Laretz, once you put up a mezuzah, you're not supposed to take it down, unless you're worried that it won't be treated with respect. Kedu amr beperek hashov above metziah, as we learned back in the Sechta above metziah. Hilkach, so if we say to him when you move in, right away put up a mezuzah, bekoshi yetze mimena. So that's going to discourage him from moving out. Mipnei torach mezuzah acheres, because if he moves out, he's not going to be able to take his mezuzahs. He's now going to have a hassle of getting new mezuzahs, putting them up. So that's going to be a reason for him to stay. So if he stays, the land of Israel gets settled more, that people stay in a place in the land of Israel. Furthermore, afilu yotzei mimeno, even if he does leave, because he has to, let's say he moved in and he left after a week, since he put up the mezuzah right away, yiskarena acher mehera, another person's going to quickly rent that apartment because he's going to say, oh, it's a good apartment. It already has a mezuzah on it. So therefore, v'nimtzeis eretz Yisrael miyushevas, it'll help the land of Israel be settled. By requiring that the mezuzah go up right away, it'll help for the land of Israel to be settled, and therefore, there is an obligation to put up a mezuzah right away. I saw Rabbi Zilberstein, he always likes these cute scenarios. He said, you know, now there's a peace treaty between Israel and Jordan. So what happens if a person goes to Jordan and he rents an apartment for a week? Should he be putting up a mezuzah? Because the Gemara says when you rent in the land of Israel, you put up a mezuzah right away. So he said, but the Gemara's point is because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the settling of the land of Israel. So Jordan is, you know, the land of Israel. It is the territory of the land of Israel. But, you know, you don't have these reasons. It's not as if other people are going to move in quickly. It's not as if, you know, the mezuzah shouldn't be taken down. Presumably the mezuzah should be taken down there because the Arabs are going to mistreat it. So he said, no, there you wouldn't put up a mezuzah right away.
Of course not.
But if one was renting an apartment in the city and one moves from one apartment to another.
In New York?
Should they
take the mezuzahs? It depends who's coming in afterwards.
Take it down every time you move.
If it's not Jews coming in afterwards, or if, let's say, the landlord is going to send in workers to fix up the apartment, so they're going to destroy the mezuzah, so then you take it down.
Are you allowed to replace the mezuzah with a lesser quality cloth if you're moving?
And another Jew's coming in?
Yeah.
I would think so.
So, okay.
Wasn't the cloth there a thing?
I know,
no, but there's a mezuzah there. You have to leave the mezuzah.
Another parchment.
Oh, parchment.
There's cloth that you can buy that costs a lot of money.
Right.
That's okay.
So that's the whole question, right? What happens if you use Bishul's talus? Do you make a blessing? So I didn't look it up here, but here. They have a whole article here. The Gemara says, let me just read this article. The Gemara says that a talus which is borrowed, so up to 30 days, you don't put on tzitzis. And that's the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. And the reason is because the Torah says, ksuscha, your garment, not somebody else's garment. But after 30 days, even though it's not yours, since it looks like it's yours, midrabanan, you're supposed to put on tzitzis. The Shulchan Aruch says that if, though, you borrow a garment that already has tzitzis, then you do make a bracha. And the Rush explains, because the guy who lent it to you is probably intending that you would have it enough so that you could be able to make a bracha on it. If you couldn't make a bracha, then it's as if it's not yours. So then already, probably he didn't lend it to you in that way. He probably did give it to you so that it would be yours. Maybe, you know, we basically assume that if he's lending you the talis, he's lending it to you so that you could have it on condition to return it, like with the esrog, and therefore you can make a bracha. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Yam Shel Shlomo and the Taz, who disagree. They say, well, if somebody lends a talis, that doesn't mean he's giving it to you as a gift on condition to return so that you can make a bracha. So rather they say that when he gives you a talis, it's presumably that he wants you to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of talis with tefillin. And therefore, he's probably allowing you to have it for the mitzvah so that you can make a bracha. But let's say you're getting a talis that you're just wearing as a garment, or you're getting use of a talis just to go up for the Torah or to be a chazen, then you don't make a bracha, because the owners did not give it to you for the mitzvah of tzitzis, and there's no assumption that they probably want you to be able to make a bracha. That's the view of the Maharshal and the Taz. The Magen Avraham, though, says that whenever you get a talis, even just to go up for the Torah, you should be making a bracha. Since we have here now a suffix, whether or not to make a bracha, so therefore, you shouldn't be making a bracha. The Mishnah Berurah therefore says that whenever somebody gives somebody else a talis, he should say, I'm not giving it to you to own, and therefore you're not entitled to make a bracha. Now, what about the talis of the shul? So the Mishnah Berurah says that since it was bought by the whole community, on behalf of all the members of the community, that any time one will take it, he can use it as his. Therefore, whenever you put it on, it is yours, and you could make a bracha on it. And therefore, the Bir Halacha says, since you're supposed to make a bracha before you put it on, you should check to make sure that the tzitzis are in fact kosher.
Rabbi, if there's a suffix about whether or not you can make a bracha on the tzitzis that you borrow from someone, then how are you even allowed to wear that talis if it's shatness? I mean, if the only reason why you're allowed to wear it is
you couldn't, right? That's correct. Okay, so we are here on the bottom of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, talking about the laws of tzitzis and the laws of mezuzah. Asocher bayis b'chutz laretz, someone who rents a house in chutz laretz, kol shloshim yom patur min mezuzah, for the first 30 days he doesn't have to put up mezuzah. Mikan ve'elach, after 30 days, chayv, he has to put up mezuzah. Aval asocher bayis b'eretz Yisrael, if somebody rents in a home in the land of Israel, osa mezuzah la'alt, he has to make a mezuzah right away. Mishum yishuv d'eretz Yisrael, because of settling the land of Israel, as we said in the Rashi. All right, now we move away from all these nice topics of Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. We have a little bit more about Tefillin, and soon we're going to get back into Menachos. Tefillah shel Yad, Eina Ma'akeves. The Mishnah said that the arm Tefillin and the head Tefillin do not impede one another. So, Amar Rav Chisda said, Lo Shana Lo Sheyeshlo. That's true if you have both a head Tefillin and an arm Tefillin. So you can put one on, at least you get that mitzvah. Avol ein lo, but if you don't have, let's say, the head tefillin, then you shouldn't put on the arm tefillin. Then it impedes the arm tefillin. Amru lo, so the sages said to Rav Chisda, Marta, did you say such a thing? Amru lo, I never said it. Elamad lesle trei mitzvos, because a person who doesn't have two mitzvos, chad mitzvah namu li avit, so you shouldn't do one mitzvah, at least you have one mitzvah. So I never said it. But originally he did say it. So what was he thinking then? What was he thinking then when he said that if you only have one, if you only have the arm, don't put it on? So he's saying, Zeresh HaMayivsha. It's a decree. Maybe the rabbis say that if you only have one, don't put it on, because if you are able to put it on, maybe you won't buy the other. Maybe a person says, okay, I have one. I'll just be okay with this. I'll be okay with the arm tefillin. And eventually you just will have one tefillin. You won't have both. So because we don't want him to do that, that's why we say, you know, you can't do anything, and maybe that'll put the pressure on him to get both. But then he rejected it. He said, no, if you only have one, at least do one. Amar Rav Sheshes said, Kol Sheino Maniach Tefillin over B'Shmona Esei. A person who doesn't put on tefillin, he violates 8 mitzvot asei, 8 positive commands. Because remember, there are 4 parchments, 4 paragraphs in the head tefillin, four parchments in the head tefillin, and 4 paragraphs in the parchment of the arm tefillin. And each paragraph it says, "Ukshartam laos," you should tie them on your arm. "Vayu laos," and they should "Vayu l'totafos," and they should be between your eyes. So each one is a directive. So 4 times 2 is 8. There are 8 mitzvahs I say here in tefillin. If somebody doesn't put on tefillin,
excuse me, if somebody goes to a goy town and he has, you know, lost one of the tefillin, the head or the he shouldn't put the other one on?
No, we rejected that. We said he should.
He should?
Yeah, we rejected that.
Because he can't, you know,
At least do one. Now we're saying if you don't put on tefillin, you lose out on 8 mitzvahs asei, or you violate 8 mitzvahs asei. Chol she'ein lo tzitzis bevigdo, if somebody doesn't have tzitzis, over bechamisha asei, he violates 5 mitzvahs asei, v'asu, v'nasnu, v'hayah, v'isam, and gedilim ta'asalacha. V'chol kohen she'ein ola duchan, a kohen who doesn't go up to say birchas kohanim, over b'shlosha asei, he's violating 3 mitzvos asei. V'chol she'ein lo mezuzah b'vischo, and if somebody doesn't have a mezuzah on his doorway, over b'shnei asei, he violates 2 mitzvos asei. Uchsav tam, and then again uchsav tam. V'omer Yishlakish Yishlakish said, kol ha'miniach tefillin, anyone who puts on tefillin, Marich Yamin merits to have length of days. As it says, Hashem Aleihem, when God is on them, namely the tefillin, which has the name of Hashem, Shin Dalad Yud, Yichyu, then they will live. ulachol bahen chaye ruchi, and in all of them will be the life of my spirit, and v'tachlimeni v'chiyeni, and they will heal me, and they will give me life. Okay, so that completes the topic of Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah. Now we move back into the topic of Menachos. So there is something that we've seen before called Minchas Nesachim, a mincha together with, its flour and oil together with wine. So we learn now, Hasolas Vashemen Ein Ma'akvin Es Hayayin. In this mincha, if you brought just the wine, just had the wine poured on the Mizbeach, without the flour and the oil, the wine would work. And also the wine would not impede the flour and the oil. That if the only thing was the flour and oil, that also could be brought. When we talk about all the placements of blood of the Karban Chatas, so you have to place the blood four times, really they do not impede one another. B'diavad, even if you only put the blood of the Chatas once on the Mizbeach, you would get kapara, you would get atonement. Yeah, question. The outer altar, yeah.
And yesterday when you were talking about pouring the water, that's also the
outer altar, yeah. On the corner, on one of the corners of the outer altar, there were two svalim. There were two pitchers, one for wine and one for water. The one for water was only used during Sukkot. The one for wine was used a lot. And they had pipes that would lead down from the pitchers into the Tehom, into the depths of the mountain. And this is the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim, of pouring the water, or sometimes pouring of the wine. Says the Gemara Tan Rabbanan, we looked at a Braisa, the source. This issue of a offering of flour and oil together with wine. The verse says, Umin chasam v'miskehem. And their mincha together with their wine libation. So that means, have a mincha. First, you offer the flour and oil, the mincha. And then you, thank you, Jay. And then you offer the wine libation. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, the verse says, Zevach unesachim. And you shall offer an animal, a slaughtered animal, and wine libations. That's to tell you, Havei Zevach, first bring the animal, V'yacharkach Havei Nesachim. Right after the animal, then you bring the wine. So in other words, according to this, according to Rebbe, it's the wine pourings, the Nesachim, and then the Mincha. Ay, V'Rebbe Nami Yoksev, but doesn't it say, Mincha Samen Eskehem? First the Menachos, and then they're Nesachim. Hahu mi Baile, he needs that for the following. The Minchasam v'niskehem balayla, the Minchasam v'niskehem afil l'machar. When it says Minchasam v'niskehem, it's to say that it can even be brought the next day after the carbon. So let's say he brought the carbon and he didn't bring with it right away the wine and the flour and oil. So he can bring it that night on its own. When even tomorrow he can bring the libations tomorrow, so long as he hasn't first consecrated them in a holy vessel.
Why they interrupted the mincha and they brought the sisit law and the tefillin and then they can go back to why is it plugged in between?
Because we had mentioned with the mincha that the parts of it are requirements for each other. That all of the flour, every granule of flour impedes all the other granules of flour. If I don't have one granule, the whole thing's no good. So that led me into talking about other topics where one thing impedes others, starting with Sefer Torah, one letter off impedes all the other letters. Once we finish this, we go back to the issues of the Nachos.
Here is mentioned us in the It's only in the Mo'adim we...
Well, that's where this pasuk is written, in Chasam Eskehem.
Yeah, the seder.
Right, so according to the Tanakhama, Mincha Saman Eskehem means that whenever you have a Minchas Nesachim, first you do the Mincha, then you do the Nesachim. First you do the flour and oil, and then you do the wine. But according to Rebbe, since there's another verse, it says Zevachu Nesachim, it means that the wine is supposed to follow right after the pieces of the animal. So that means you do the pieces of the animal, the wine, and then you do the Mincha. Then you do the flour and oil. So what does he do with the words Mincha Saman Eskehem, flour and oil, and then wine? Has to teach us something else, that the flour and oil and the wine can actually be disconnected from the animal. They can be at night, they could even be the next day, so long as they haven't been made holy in the klishas. Rabbanan Nami. Now the Rabbanan who say that the mincha has to come and then the wine, I zevachu nesachim. What about the verse that says that the animal and then the wine? Seemingly the wine should be right after the animal. So they'll say that they need to look at Ze'iri for the lesson of Ze'iri. Amar Ze'iri said, what makes the wine holy? The slaughtering of the carbon. So in other words, if I put it aside for a carbon, I could still switch it to another carbon. But once this carbon that I put it aside for has been slaughtered, now I can't switch the wine for any other carbon. Rebbe, what's that?
Is it the same with the
mincha? Yeah. Rebbe, nami mi barle, one second. So Rebbe also needs the word zevach when it's talking for the lesson of Ze'iri, that the slaughtering of the zevach is what makes the nesach holy for this carbon. Rabbanan nami, and really according to Rabbanan, how can we say that they say that it has to be the oil and flour first and then the wine because of minchasim niskeim? They need Minchasim Niskeim to teach me the law that Balayla, that you can offer the Minchas Nesachim at night, even after the carbon was brought by day. And Minchasim Niskeim is to teach me the law that you can offer it Lamachar the next day. Elahainu Tamai Rabban. Okay, we have to say a different reason for the Rabban. The verse says, Ola Umincha. So since it says Ola and then Mincha, that means that the Mincha has to follow the Ola. Rabbi Nami, so what's Rabbi going to do with that verse? Haksev Ola Umincha. Doesn't it say Ola and Mincha? Ella, so rather you have to say like this, if the flour and oil and the wine is coming together with an ola or together with a shlamim, everybody agrees, then you first offer the flour and oil and then you do the wine. Because the verse says, the ola is then followed by the mincha. The question is, the argument between Rebbe and the Chacham is, if the flour and oil and the wine are coming on their own. Rabbanan savri, Rabbanan hold. Nidabonim azevach, mincha, v'yachakach nesachim. Since if it comes with the carbon, it's mincha and then nesachim. Bifnei atzma nami, if they come on their own, also it's mincha and then the nesachim. It's the flour and oil and the wine. And Rebbe will tell you, no, asamud ayid asla ba'achila, there it's olo mincha, it's the carbon and then the mincha, then the oil and flour, because since we started with eating, we finish up with eating. Okay, flour and oil is more food than wine. But if we're just bringing flour and oil and wine, so then the wine is better than the flour and oil. The wine is better, and it's preferred, it should come first. Because the Levim sing as the wine is poured. So since the Levim sing the song from Tehillim, the Shir Shel Yom, the song of the day, as the wine is poured, so there's an advantage to the wine, there's a prominence to the wine that you don't have with the mincha, and that's why that should come before the flour and oil.
But would they sing it if it was brought solo, Rabbi? I wouldn't sing it, right?
They would. They would.
It's the wine separately, they sing it.
Whenever wine is poured, there's a song. Hamatano Shalom Mizbeach Achitzon, the blood that are given on the outer altar in Makvozot, so they don't impede each other. You don't need to have all the placements of blood. Even one is already enough. We know that all those things that go on the outer Mizbeach, if you only gave the blood once, that it did create atonement. As the verse says, and the blood of your carbon, not the bloods, but the blood of your carbon, Yishafecha Mizbach Hashem Elokecha has to be poured on the Mizbeach of Hashem your God, so that implies that even a single placement of blood does work. Says the Mishnah, Parim, the bulls, V'ha'elim, and the rams, V'ha'kvasim, and the sheep, and in Ma'akvin Zad said, they don't impede each other, you give whatever you have. If they had lots of bulls and they didn't have enough liquids, so then just bring one bull with its liquid. He does not think that come Yom Tov, come, you know, you have to bring the karbanos. You should be bringing animals without accompanying them with the Nesachim. Okay, so the Gemara is going to discuss which Parim and Elam are we referring to. Right. Of the Karban, exactly. Yes.